Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Now, as quickly and profoundly as the seasons change in the natural, seasons are changing in the spirit. Begin now to press in to a season of great favor, to a season of protection and blessing, to a season in which I begin to open up doors and opportunities that have never been realized before, and I will also open your eyes unto things that stand before you that you do not see. So press in with all of your heart. Make the decision even this day. I will not miss it. Whatever my God does in the earth, I will be a part. Whatever my Savior releases, I shall be a part. And you shall see. You shall not be excluded, but you shall be included in all the glory released in these last days. And in that final event, you shall not be disappointed. Hey, beware. Beware of the perilous times. Beware of the day that you live in. Beware of how the adversary goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But no, no, no. Resist steadfast in the faith. I've appointed and equipped you for this day and hour. You have the anointing. You have the authority. You have the name. You have the word. You have the power of the Holy Ghost. So do not draw back, but press in and be bold. Be bold in the things of God and the things of the Spirit, and you shall see dynamic breakthroughs. You shall see dramatic miracles and signs, and you shall be caught up in all that is going on by my grace and mercy in these last days. Now, observe and receive the reality and the revelation of the value of the one that stands to your right, the one that stands to your left, the one that stands in front, and the one that stands behind you. For I've surrounded each and every one of you with people of like precious faith. And truly the value of your experience here on the earth is the fellowship you have with those of like precious faith. So guard your hearts with all diligence. Cut off the voices from the outside that try to draw you away from that which I'm doing in my house and in my church. For surely there's a spirit of unity and a bond of peace that is being developed in these last days that will carry you through the most difficult times. So press in and pull in tight together. Bear one another's burdens in the Lord. Hold one another up in faith. Walk in love and forgiveness, and you will see that your unity shall not be broken, your authority shall not be dissuaded, and the power that you flow in shall be to all to enjoy and to receive from in my name in these days. Hallelujah. Psalms 92. We're studying God's will. Last week, I'll try to wrap it up this week. We studied God's will for you as the church. I don't know. I may be a little different than most. God really put in me a real love for the local church. When I used to travel, it was my desire to help every church I went to be a help to that church. And I believe we were successful. I believe we had some wonderful times then, but in pastoring over the past 20 years, I've recognized also, because I was kind of insulated, I guess. When we attended another church that I worked out of, and we really didn't fellowship with a lot of people or things like that, but once we began to pastor and began to recognize and realize how ruthless the devil is in his attack against the true church. Now, understand, number one, in order for the church to be a true church, it has to be called by God. Now, there's a lot of churches that guys just, you know, I heard a guy say this years ago. He says, if you know anything about the Bible, you can go rent a storeroom and have 50 people, you know, in a couple of weeks. Well, a lot of people do that, but that doesn't necessarily make it a church. One thing a church will do, it'll stand the test of time. It'll be around a while, amen. It takes time. Many times, a lot of people, they look up at Pastor Joel up at Lakewood, and they, oh, wow, and they ooh and all over that. But they don't realize that started in a feed barn. Yeah. Brother Osteen was in that feed barn 17 years. Then they built the building, the first metal building. Nobody came to that. The same 200 people came. Brother Osteen made the aisles 35 feet wide. There's a few chairs over here, a few chairs over. It was fun. But you know, just like you turned on a switch, just like that, people started coming. Next thing you know, in 1 year, they had 1,000. In 2 years, they had 3,000. In 3 years, they had 4,000. And they stayed with that 4,000 for about 4 or 5 years till they finally had to build a church to seat 8,500, which they did in 88, I think. But listen, there was almost 20-something years of them being in obscurity before that all broke loose. So a lot of times people just aren't patient. They're not willing to stand the test of time. But I meet people everywhere I go that tell me either they were a child or their family was part of that 200 people. I meet them all the time and how that affected their lives. Now listen, God's purpose for the church in the earth is you. Is you. It's not to build up a pastor or to build up a ministry. It's something that he's given in the earth to protect his children, to keep his children safe, to keep them informed, to keep them in a common purpose, amen, and to create a new culture in the earth. Do you understand? We are going to be the culture of the earth for 1,000 years. Not a white culture, not a black culture, not a Hispanic culture, a righteous culture on the earth comprised of all people. That is God's intentions, and God's gonna accomplish that through the church. Aren't you glad? Now, Psalms 92, I've always liked this scripture. Let me read it here. Let's start in verse 12 for time's sake. It says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Now, do you see that? Now, notice that. Those that are what? Planted. Now, that's a unique piece of terminology to be used in the Old Covenant referring to something in the New Covenant. God does not give the church to you to control you, but to grow you. Let me say that again. Notice those that be what? Planted. So there's an agricultural, what would you say? An agricultural connotation to this of you starting out in one place as not being grown and ending up in another place as growing and producing fruit. Isn't that the will of God for you? And it's the will of God for you to do it within the confines of the local church so that the blessing, now think about this. When the prodigal son took his blessing and he left the father's house, he lost his blessing. Let me try that again. When the prodigal son, who was blessed by the father, when he left the father's house with the blessing, the Bible says he wasted it on riotous living. Amen? The world will eat up your blessing. It'll eat up your blessing. So God gives the father's house. Now here's the key. God wants to control your blessing because if he can control it instead of you, he can bless you more than you can bless yourself. And he can control your blessing in the confines of the house. If it's the wrong blessing, you'll find out. If it's the right blessing, you'll know it. If it's financial, you'll have a total format, an economy in the church in order to participate with to grow your finances. Your health, glory to God, you can resist anything the devil brings against you. No matter what phase it may be in. Amen. Well, you got phase four of this, we can't help you. Well, Jesus can, amen? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now listen, here's mine. I don't know if this is yours, but this is mine. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Why don't you old men just get out of the way and let all us young whippersnappers take over? Because you drive it in the ditch, that's why. Amen. Now notice what it says. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Come on, church. Some of y'all need to get a little fat spiritually. Amen. The Bible says you're going to be what? Fat and what? Flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, that He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. To flourish, listen to this. To flourish means to complete a cycle to its full potential, to increase and produce the desired effect. So God wants you to flourish. Where? In the house of God. In the house. Did you know? When I got into the church, I began to flourish. I went to Lakewood Church as a Bible school student, and God opened up ministry for me all over the world. I went to another small church that started and helped them grow that church. And in that church, I met my wife. My family all came to the Lord. God began to bless us, and we ended up coming here to Galveston and starting this church. We have seen the blessings of God. Amen. And now that we've gathered a few years, we're not going to give up. We believe our greatest days are in front of us. Listen to it in the Passion Bible. Yes. Look how you've made all your lovers to flourish. What does God call you? A lover. What does God call you? A lover. Oh, I'd get into that, but we'd have to do a conference. Amen. To flourish like palm trees. Each one growing in victory, standing with strength. You've transplanted them into your courtyard where they are thriving before you. For in your presence they will still overflow and be anointed even in their old age. They will stay fresh and bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Listen to them. Amen. Now see, he's talking about your church experience, how the church is the family of God on the earth. Now, let me help you with this. I don't want to get real technical. Next door is a business. What's it called? There's so many of them. So it's Dollar General. There's Dollar Tree, Dollar this. So this is a corporation. Amen. And so they do everything by corporate law. You know, the way they run their finances, the way they're audited. I'm sure they turn all of their receipts over to an accountant, just like we do. Amen. And so we kind of view church as we view businesses. You know, we could go down here for lunch, or we could go up to the seawall for lunch. So we think there's a real choice element involved. That's why people choose to go to one church, and when they get a little offended, they choose to leave. So the problem many times in our church experience is we leave the choice to us. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. It's got to be God's choice. Now, the Bible shows us very plainly in Joshua chapter 5. You don't have to turn there. But in Joshua chapter 5, the Bible says when God got them ready to go in and possess the promised land, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Now, listen, this is the camp. Everybody say the camp. And for every person here, there's a place for you in the camp. Amen. And in that place in the camp, you can abide and enter into a place of wholeness in your life. That word wholeness, that's the same word in the Hebrew. That is the word shalom that the Jewish people used to greet each other with, which means literally the assembly of everything that was destroyed being put back together, not the way it was before man fell, the way it was when it was created. The whole intention of God is to go back to the reality of creation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness is and His children enjoy the fruit of the earth. Amen. So understand, the enemy's greatest threat in the earth is a real church. Everybody say real church. Now, I use the illustration of Dollar General. So a lot of people, there's Dollar General, so the Dollar Tree, Family Dollar. So if you want to go dollaring, amen, you got a lot of choices. Now, see, we think of churches like, to get up a Sunday morning, we go to this church, that church. So we use that same mentality. But the church is not corporate. There is a corporate element to the church because we have to obey the laws of the land. Can I get an amen? But the church is organic. You say, what do you mean by organic? There are only two divine institutions on the earth, both are organic. Number one is marriage. How many have an organic marriage if you're married? Is your marriage organic? Do you know what that means? Think if your marriage were corporate. Think if your marriage were corporate. Now think just a moment. Take a moment for your mind to think if your marriage was not organic. Think if it was corporate. Wouldn't be much of a marriage, would it? Now take that mentality, flip it to church. Most people, their church experience is corporate. They go to a denominational church. They go to a place that is basically a cookie cutter of many other churches that are just like that. Amen. They preach, I've said it for years, but I believe we ought to love everybody. But they preach 100-year-old messages. They sing 100-year-old songs. And they deny what God, they talk about what God did do while denying what He is doing today. That's called religion. But see, a real church, what is a real church? Number one, it should be a place where if anybody walked in the door that did not know Jesus, when they left, they would know Him. It should be a place where if someone was oppressed, they could get delivered. Somebody was sick, they could have hands laid on them and prayer could be made and healing could be wrought. Amen? It should be a place where a believer could grow and be empowered with the Holy Ghost and find out this great reality of who they are, what they have, and what they can do in Christ Jesus. It should be people that are involved in world harvest. World evangelism is a mandate on the church. Well, I've gone to church for years. Nobody talks about missions. They're wrong. I said they're wrong. No, world evangelism, local evangelism. Everything that we're doing to try to do what? Propagate the gospel, proclaim and demonstrate the gospel. The church is the platform for it, but it's also the platform for you to be planted and for you to grow in the things of God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish. And the problem with a lot of people, they just don't flourish. They're just barely getting along. They're telling us right now, now listen to me. You're not of the world. Let me say this again. You're not of the world. But they're telling us right now that 60% of our nation is living from paycheck to paycheck. That should not be true in the church. Where'd my amens go? You should have abundance and no lack. You should be fat and flourishing. What's the issue? Whatever it is, get it out of your life. Now's not the time to be playing games with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, or the anointing. These are the last of the last days. And if we ever need to come together in unity, come together in authority, and come together in common purpose as a church, it's now, because this is the last of the last days. Now, go if you will. Go to Timothy. How about Timothy? Y'all like Timothy? I do. I think he's cool. Go to Timothy. Now this is, we might have to dig in here for a couple of weeks. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Now, a lot of times, this is the issue, is people don't know how to behave in the house of God. It's not, listen, this is not a store, it's not a restaurant, this is a church. This is an organic entity on the earth. This is the place in which God literally places His name. His name is in the true church. Amen. Now notice this very closely. Then I'm going to come back and expound on it some. It says that thou oughtest to know how to behave thyself in the house of God. Now notice, which is the church of the living God. So He says the house of God is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now let me say, one translation says, it is the place of protection against deception in the earth. Amen? It is the place of protection against deception in the earth. Now, there's two thoughts that are being carried in this scripture. Number one, behavior in the house of God. Everybody say behavior. And a reality or a revelation that the house of God or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should be the place of protection against deception in your life. Amen. Now, let me just say this, because I don't know how you feel about what we do around here. But this might help you. The doctrines that we preach, the way in which we preach them, the doctrines that we believe, and the way in which we believe them have been affirmed and confirmed by some of the greatest ministries on this earth. How many churches can say that? Why would Tony Cook come to an island church when he could probably go to Lakewood? Why would Christopher Alam come here? You know why? Because God sends them here to confirm and affirm this is right. They wouldn't come near this place. The Holy Ghost would not send them near. People like Daryl Strawberry wouldn't come near this place. People like Mark Brzee, pastors, they wouldn't come near this place if it wasn't a God thing. God sends them, sure, to minister to us, to preach good messages, but their presence here is a confirmation and an affirmation that we are who we say we are. We are doing what we're supposed to be doing and pressing into the things we're supposed to be pressing into. They come here and affirm and confirm that with us. Not only do they do that corporately by their presence, I get them back there in the office and I keep them for 3 and 4 hours picking their brain, making sure we're on the right path. Amen. You say, why? Because this is the place of protection against deception. Now, when it comes to doctrine, we're going to do our best. We're going to check it against the best Bible teachers and scholars that we know. We're going to make sure that we walk it out before we ever preach it. And we're going to preach it and proclaim it when we experience it. You say, what does that mean? We don't teach or preach anything we hadn't proved. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Secondly, we tell everyone, don't ever believe anything because we say it. Believe it because it's in the Bible. Go to the Word. Don't be deceived by some man, somebody up there preaching the gospel, because they can lie. They can be deceived. Amen. You heard the story of the little bunny and the little snake. They're both just born, so they can't see. So the bunny says, I don't know what I am. So he asked the snake, he said, just kind of feel around on me and see if you can tell me what I am. So he fell, he says, I feel 2 long ears. Wow. You got a fuzzy little tail? You got some big back legs? And the little bunny says, I'm a rabbit. And so the little snake says, do the same thing for me. And so the bunny feels the snake. He says, well, you're kind of slick and you're kind of shiny. And you got beady little eyes. And the snake jumped up and said, I'm a televangelist. Glory to God. So sometimes not everything is as it seems. Everybody say the ground, the pillar, and the ground of truth. Now, right upon the heel of this, listen, this is, I'll close with this. This is awesome. And without controversy, listen, great is the mystery of godliness. Most translations don't use the word godliness, they use the word righteousness. Great is the mystery of godliness or righteousness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Now, how many of you ever read that scripture and thought there's what's in that? You ever read that and thought, I've read this, meditated on this, so I made a decision. I'm going to deep dive this thing. I'm going to figure out what this is all about. You know what this is? You know what that is? You know what that scripture is? That's a song that the early church sang. That's what that is. That's a, just like we get these divine, inspired songs that God gives Brother Roland or Sister Laura or Brother Frank or one of the other songwriters around here. That's what that is. That is, now listen. This is a confirmation, an affirmation of the remaining mystery of righteousness that we've not discovered yet. Which includes what? Everything from our residence in heaven to the rapture, to our glorified bodies, to what God is going to do in the last days. Amen? And when you begin to break this thing down and begin to look at it, the different words. Now, this is a study you would have to do. The Passion Bible will help you if you've got commentary in the Passion Bible. And there's a couple of other good commentaries if you're a real Bible student want to study this. When you take the sum total of words in this scripture, take them from the Aramaic back into the Hebrew. You know what the one word that is this scripture says? Melchizedek is the mystery of this scripture. Who is the what? King of righteousness. This, I'll pick this up and help you with it this week. This scripture reveals to us that the church on the earth is as real as Jesus being on the earth. That's what this is saying. That's why they sang it. That's why they proclaimed it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I mean, this is it. He is saying to the church, you don't have Jesus personally present with you bodily, but you have him as the church, which is called what? The body and bride of Christ. Can you explain that, Pastor? Yes, I can. Great is the mystery of godliness. Come on, church. Great is the mystery of godliness. It talks about his grandeur, his majesty, his power. And he says, now all of that is what? It is the pillar of truth, the place of protection against deception in the earth is Jesus. And Jesus is the church. So how you respond to the church is directly proportionate of how you respond to Jesus. Now, people don't like that, but the Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, there's one witness right there. Another witness is over there in Acts chapter 9 when Saul of Tarsus is heading for Damascus to arrest Christians, and a light shines from heaven, brighter than the noonday sun. And a voice spoke, Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the pricks? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. Why persecutest thou the church? Why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me? So when I began to get that revelation years ago, I began to understand every church, how precious it is to God, how precious it is to Jesus, because he gave his blood to purchase the church. Wow. And when you understand those realities, then you begin to understand. So that's why the devil fights so hard. That's why the adversary takes people many times and layers deception upon them. And they don't understand the reality of their church experience. This is not a platform for our talents or abilities. We use them together with one another to do what? To propagate this gospel outside the church. It's not, listen, I've seen a lot of prima donnas in the church that they're looking for an unction to function. Amen? But you've got to grow in grace. You've got to grow in a gift from God. If you have a ministry gift, an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, or an evangelist, you've got to grow in it. You've got to grow in the music ministry. You've got to grow in the missions ministry. You've got to grow in the media ministry. You've got to grow in church ministry. You've got to grow in it. And you can only grow by the seeds of God and the soil that God provides. And God wants the church to grow correctly to become the entity that's effective. That's the problem in the church. Our church is disproportionately effective. You say, what do you mean? For our size, we're 100 times more effective than our size. You say, why? Because effectiveness is not measured in size, it's measured in faith. Yeah. Amen? This week, here's a good example. I'll close with this, my time's up. Last Sunday, as we were leaving church, we began to get the news report that there had been a shooter at Lakewood. Yeah. Amen? And listen, let me tell you, what would have been the devil's plan for that? About 200 people dead? Yeah. About 200 people dead? But see, when you pray and intercede, Well, you say, what do you mean by that? Yeah, our prayer and intercession. Stop that. Sure, theirs did too. Sure did the church in Pasadena. Sure did the church in Lamar. Sure the church in everyone praying in the Holy Ghost and interceding. Stop that. Amen. Same thing with the thing that happened there in Kansas City. That guy, they would have killed 1,000 people if they could. All of those people, they would do it. They do it until they're stopped. Yeah. Amen. Well, what stops it? Prayer and intercession. Amen. That didn't mean it doesn't happen. It means it has the least amount of effect possible. Amen. The church does that. And we've said this. Things are coming up on the earth. This was a prophecy given in a prayer conference in 2022. Things are coming up on the earth in which we will have to have corporate agreement to release authority to stop that from happening. And there's a lot of stuff right now, church, we need to be praying about that it stops. It doesn't need to be political. No. We need to be able to function effectively as a church. We don't need to spend our time resisting our government, trying to keep our doors open, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to keep me out of jail. Amen. And we can do it. That's why it's important. Now listen to me. I don't know. That's why it's important that you give yourself to a church and that it become your church. Because this isn't my church. This is your church. This is our church. But this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His church. I tell everybody, you know, I'm not the pastor, I'm the under-shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's the one that came up with the idea of the church. We read it last week in Matthew 16. Upon the church, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell, think of that. All of the strategy, all of the plans the devil comes up with, everything he tries to do, God says, it shall not prevail against you. No weapon formed against you. Doesn't mean the weapon isn't formed. But it also says it will not prosper. It will not prosper. And that's the good thing. We preached at a precious church. Doesn't exist anymore. It just circumstances were just not there for it to continue after the pastor died. But it was a dynamic church. Our family enjoyed great fellowship there. Joe and Yvonne Solis were the pastors. That's where Breland was dedicated as a baby there. And they had a sign at the back of their church that said this: if everybody treated my church like I treat my church, what would my church look like? That has stuck with me all these years. All these years. If everybody treated my church like I treat my church, what would my church look like? That's an awesome thought. Well, I hope everybody has good thoughts toward that. Don't fight to get out. Fight to stay in. Fight to stay in. Because there's great, great, great advantages to being planted. I know these are live plants. Because when I traveled for so many years and went to all these churches, they all had plastic plants. And that really bugged me. I mean, if everything is real but the plants are fake, I couldn't do the math on that, you know. Amen. So you know, I like things that are real, that are tangible, that aren't fake. Amen. So keep this in your mind. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall be what? Even in old age shall be fat and flourishing. Amen? And the house of God is what? The place of protection against deception in the earth. Keeps your faith strong. Keeps you moving forward. Keeps you in the harvest. Keeps you in revival or the move of God. I mean, are you ready? Are you ready? Have you given yourself to God to the point that if this thing really hits, really breaks out, and next thing you know, there's 5 services a day, 7 days a week, will you find your place? Because you'll have to participate or leave. Because someone else will need your place. because they'll either be participating or getting saved. That's how intense harvest could be. So it's kind of like sending that deposit on that hunt. It may not be for a few months, but the closer I get, the more I'm going to anticipate and the more I'm going to get myself ready. Amen? Hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship God. Brother Frank, if you'll go to the keyboard real quick. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, you must be born again, or you cannot see nor understand the kingdom, the dominion of God in the earth. People struggle many times with religious mindsets. Mankind has always mistakenly thought, let me say that again, that's worth hearing. Mankind has always, always mistakenly thought that their good works would justify them before God. That's why religion is so strong. That's why you have the Muslim religion, the Hindu religion. That's why you have all these different religions and cults around the world, is because mankind thinks that if they can be good enough, that will justify them before God. But the gospel is this. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Because every person born into the human family is born dead or separated from God. But thank God, 2,000 years ago, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rusty, I've never made Jesus Lord and Savior. God knows my heart. He knows that I love Him. But listen, the Bible requires of you a public confession of faith. Jesus said, if you'll believe in your heart, the Word of God says this. Of course, we know He is the Word. If you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. No maybes, no ifs, ands, or buts. Amen. He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then Jesus Himself in the Gospels qualified a public confession by saying this: accept me before men. Declare me before men. I'll declare you for before my Father. Reject me in front of men. Reject me in front of men. I'll reject you in front of my Father. God has given us a way to continue to perpetuate that remittance of sin. So when we do sin, we don't get a wage. We ask for forgiveness. And the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I've not been born again. I want to be saved. I want Jesus as Lord. Or you say, I have been, but I've not been living right, doing right. I need to get right with God. Lift your hand up right now. I need prayer. Praise God. Two people here. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus, as we look around. You can put your hand down once you raise it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Thank God for two. Amen? Anyone else? Okay, let me look one more time. Let me look. Just bow your head and pray for a moment. Bow your head and pray for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just kind of looking around. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just pray. Everybody pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I call on your name for salvation. Thank you. You died for me. You rose from the dead for me. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father, drawing me to your heart right now. So, Father, before your face and all these people, I declare Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, that you fulfilled the scripture, being born of a virgin in Bethlehem, living a sinless life, doing signs, wonders, and miracles, revealing the nature of the Father. You died on the cross, you rose from the dead, and you did it all for me. Your love is so amazing. I believe it, I receive it. Areas of my life where I've missed the mark, sins of omission, sins of commission. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I appropriate the blood of Jesus that cleanses me and restores me to righteousness. As I sit in Island Church, February the 18th, 2024, Jesus is my Lord. Heaven is my home. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, as we leave today, we claim our protection and our safety according to Psalms 91. We declare no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us. 1,000 could fall at our right hand, 10,000 at our left side, but it will not come nigh us. Only with our eyes will we behold and see the reward of the wicked. Thank you, Father, for open doors of utterance. Thank you for tender hearts toward the lost and the hurting. Thank you for strength in our bodies, prosperity in our pocketbooks, open doors, and your favor on all we put our hand to. Thank you that we prosper. Lord, as we leave today, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward one another, and we leave as the ambassadors of Christ. You've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.